All right, well, today we are continuing on with our series about compassion entitled The Eyes of Christ. Compassion is one of the defining characteristics of Christianity. You can call yourself a Christian, you can attend services like you are doing today, you can debate people on the internet about this or that, about the other thing, but the litmus test that unbelievers can't deny is the compassionate acts of a Christian. Now, we've looked at the scales dropping from Saul's eyes, the ministry of the and martyrdom of Stephen, and in this message today, we will look at the ministry of Philip and the response to his different take on compassion. When you think of compassionate ministries, what do you think of? Do you think of Compassion International, a child sponsorship program, the Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, Mercy Ships, where they bring in these big ships to different ports around the world and do surgeries for free for people? Cure International? Well, those are some of the big ones that I could think of, but locally we have some parachurch ministries like Bethel Boutique, Living Faith Food Pantry, and Door of Hope. And you can check out those links on our blog page. I'll link them there. But what do you think of when you hear the word compassion? Maybe like me, you think of tangible needs. Give somebody some money, help them with some food, give them some medical treatments, things like that that are tangible. And last week, we certainly looked at some tangible things that were given to people, the distribution of food. Stephen and several others, and we'll talk about them a little bit later, were given the job to distribute food to the widows so that everything was fair, basically. And he was working on meeting those needs by distributing the food. But also, he had this seemingly call to preach. And he preached and he talked and he presented the message of Jesus Christ. And he preached a sermon that got him arrested, brought before people. He answered some more, preached some more. And he got accused and then stoned to death without a proper trial at all. And I just want to kind of give us some context to begin this, what we're looking at today. If we look at the last part of chapter 1, verse 1, a lot of times you'll say B, like the last half of that, the second sentence. It says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Okay, so that's the second half of verse 1. That happens right after Stephen is stoned to death, okay? Jump to verses 4 and 5 to give us some context for where we're headed in today's message. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. Okay, we'll come back to these verses here in a minute or two, but just to recap, and a lot of this message, after I get into it, the bullet points and all that stuff, it's a little bit of a recap. So we'll read the scripture, we'll talk a little bit about it, kind of go back and forth, so you know where we're going with this. But Stephen was stoned, and some people stayed in Jerusalem. Those were the apostles. The scripture is very clear about that. And some hightailed it out of there. They scattered, and that was everyone else, seems. And I don't know about you, but these verses confused me. Why did it confuse me? Maybe you're confused, maybe not. Because I seem vaguely familiar with the little tune when you're a kid, the Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son, you know, the 12 disciples song, the apostles, right? Those words kind of get used interchangeably, by the way. The 12 disciples song. And I know Philip was one of the 12 disciples, this guy named Philip, or a Philip. Plant that there. But so I've always pictured when I hear this story of the guy meeting the Ethiopian in the desert, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. I always picture this is Philip the disciple heading to Samaria and then also down that desert road. And if you back up to chapter 1 of Acts, verse 13, this is the list of everybody who was in that upper room. Philip's on that list. Now, it could be this Philip. I did a little bit of research. And I also looked at the context in which you're reading the scripture, and that's why I had to scratch my head when I read this. The very next verse, so verses 1 and then 4 through 5 tell us that the apostles stayed put, they stayed in Jerusalem, everyone else scattered. There's only two kinds of people, it sounds like. The apostles, the disciples, they stayed put in Jerusalem. Everyone else scattered. The very next verse references a Philip going down south, or excuse me, north, but down, away from Jerusalem, going to Samaria to proclaim the Messiah. So it appears Stephen wasn't the only one who had skills and abilities beyond waiting tables, because this is the Philip who was also one of the seven people. That is what I surmise. Some people don't agree. They have already staked their claim. This is still the apostle Philip. They gave some reasoning, but the majority of people, I would agree, that I was reading about, they're saying this is one of the seven Philips. Or Philip is one of those seven that were called to, hey, let's wait the tables, let's distribute the food, and then they're scattered because disciples stay, everyone else scatters. He scattered and he preached. So again, we're going to look at some of these scriptures about Philip and his ministry, and we're going to go back and forth and fill in these blanks as we come back out of it. But let's look at verses 4 through 8. Like I said, we've already read 4 and 5, but we're going to take another peek at that. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Older NIV, by the way. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ, or the Messiah, there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to this whole pay attention thing, right? With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Okay, so if I could just give like small little snapshots of what this story is all about, and that's kind of what you have here in this outline. Philip went. It's one of the most important things that any believer in Christ could do is to go somewhere for Christ. And then he didn't just go somewhere, he proclaimed the Messiah. And in the process, he had the attention of the crowds. There's this group, there's this large, more than one person. That's what we know, these crowds. He has their attention. He has their attention. And why does he have their attention? Because part of this ministry, some stuff happened. What stuff? People were healed. Evil spirits came out of many. Paralytics and cripples were healed. That kind of stuff. There's some miraculous stuff happening. It wasn't the purpose of his ministry. It happened as a result. That got the attention of the people to listen to his message. And so he was faithful. He went. He proclaimed. He got the attention of the crowds, and the result of all of this was great joy in the city. Let's look at verses 9 through 13. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people in Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." Okay, attention. Remember that. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. So when he went to this town, one of the people in this crowd was an attention-grabbing sorcerer named Simon. Couldn't help but grab the attention. He wanted it. But then Philip gained a following that drew the attention of Simon. Simon was paying attention to him, seeing how he was getting attention. There's that word again. And Simon is baptized like the others, and he follows Philip. But why does he follow Philip? The scripture tells us it's because of the great signs and miracles. He saw the stuff that attracted his attention. He wanted more. He sees that. We see a pattern, by the way, in Simon here in a little bit. But it was those great signs and miracles that drew Simon's attention to Philip, drew him towards the decision to get baptized. Let's look again at 14, starting up there. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also the ability to do that so that everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Okay, so the apostles rebuke him, and then he asks them to pray for him. Was he not listening? Peter said, "You pray. You pray to God and repent." And we never know if they actually pray for him. My guess is not, because they had just said, no. This is the step you have to take. You have to be the one to pray. You have to be the one to repent. It's a personal situation for you. You have to mean it in your heart. I can't do it for you like you thought I was doing this Holy Spirit filling on my own power. That's not how this works. It's God. Let's pick up in verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in the charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." So Philip got some new instructions. He started out and he met a man who he had worshiped. He was just coming from Jerusalem. And he was also opening the scriptures and reading and seeking and trying to understand them. And that Spirit told him to stay near the guy. Philip, stay near that man. And the man asked Philip for help, and Philip helped him understand. The eunuch was reading, in verse 32, it says, "The eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went about his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Okay, so the man desired to be baptized, and Philip baptized him as the opportunity presented itself. So going along, he sees some water. He must have part of this conversation about Jesus Christ with Philip. He must have talked about baptism. And so he baptized him as the opportunity presents itself. Somewhere along that desert road, there was some water. And Philip was taken away by the Spirit. One of the most amazing things, we don't know, teleportation. Did he just like, nobody knew where he went? We don't know. It just clearly says that it's unclear how he got from one place to the other, but he was taken away by the Spirit. And along the way, Philip preached the gospel. Where God led him next, he kept preaching. He didn't keep handing out food to the widows. It's interesting that that was a specific job that the seven had in Jerusalem, but it was to share the good news as they were scattered among the nations. Now, one of the things as we conclude today, one of the things that I usually miss when I look at this passage of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is Philip had this very successful ministry in Samaria. To begin with, he preached the Messiah and people were getting baptized. Even a local celebrity, Simon, was joining the movement. And to top it all off, the apostles sent the big guns to check out the work that had been going on to the Samaritans. Things looked good, and Peter and John desired a deeper spiritual experience for the believers of Samaria. Hey, this is great, guys. Let's go further. And they laid up their hands on them and prayed that they would receive the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. It's a great ministry going on there in Samaria. Could have stayed there forever. And maybe the whole local celebrity thing, leeching off of Philip's perceived influence, that wasn't all that great, but good work was happening in Samaria. Peter and John put Simon the sorcerer in his place, and eventually Philip moved on. Philip, one of the seven, who was set aside for waiting tables in Jerusalem, but he also had this preaching ministry. He's led to walk down a desert road away from the Jerusalem he was to minister into. He was called simply to obey the Spirit. In doing so, he leads a single person to Christ, the one he saw along the road. One single person. Compassion is not always about healing and meeting physical needs. It's not about big, huge stadiums and crowds full of people. Sure, when people's physical needs are met, they are more likely to be receptive. But Philip brought the good news both north of Jerusalem in Samaria, which was the land that Jesus met with a woman at the well, and then the Spirit called him elsewhere, and he went southwest of Jerusalem toward Gaza. And meanwhile, Saul was heading northeast towards Damascus with a permit to arrest Christians, like we looked at a few weeks ago. Philip's teaching ministry didn't end in the baptism of the Ethiopian. No matter the size of the group, many or just one, he had compassion on them. He had his eyes wide open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Much like his fellow table waiter, Stephen, Philip brought the message of the gospel wherever the Lord had him go. Corrie ten Boom said, "Everyone is either a missionary or a mission field. And if you are a Christian, guess what? That makes you a missionary. It might not look like the missionaries that we read about in the NMI books, or we hear about the service-based works like child sponsorships and medical aid, but it is what we are each called to. But you go into your mission field every single day and look with eyes wide open, looking for someone to share the good news with. Maybe someone needs to be encouraged, comforted, or even corrected. Be faithful to the leading of the Spirit. Keep your eyes wide open to where the Spirit leads. And when you do, He will take you places."